This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
I don't think I've ever seen Dan Valdez in jeans, but if he wore them, his jeans would be great.
You're absolutely right, they would. I don't wear jeans, but that's besides the point.
You wear a lot of shorts, even in the winter.
I mean, yeah, who doesn't? They're comfortable.
Despite the fact that Dan is about 70 pounds soaking wet, he comes rolling in February to the 1210 WPHT studios wearing nothing, covering his chicken legs.
Yeah, and what do you got to say about that?
Well, here's what I think. Having been to the beach recently, you wouldn't know that. You don't know anything about my life, so you don't even know I was on vacation.
I do know you're on vacation.
But my children, and all children, because they're so incy-wincy, they've got better circulation. So that's why you could see children running in and out of the surf when the ocean's cold. And they're enjoying themselves, whereas if you or I went in, we'd go up a few octaves. My theory is, because you're so tiny, you've got better circulation. Just
Thank
a hunch.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing you ever said to me.
Complimenting your circulation is the nicest thing I've ever said to you?
Probably.
It's probably true.
Yeah.
And look, it's easy for you to check, folks, because the Matt Rooney Show is broadcast weekly, Saturday night, 7 and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1210 WPHT. And you can go to the podcast, Spotify, Apple iTunes, wherever, and you can listen to the old episodes and verify that I often treat Dan like crap. But I do that because I love him. It's how it works. It's well-meaning, good-spirited ribbing, Daniel. And when you're only here about once a month on average, which is, I think, where we're at right about now, you can't blame me for laying into you a little bit when you're actually here.
I mean, God forbid a man has hobbies, you know what I mean?
Oh, is that what it is? This is what it's more like, folks. I say, all right, Dan, and we're gonna have the show, or we're going to pre-record, or whatever we happen to be doing a given week. And I go and I knock on his door, and I say, Bella, can Dan come out and play? And Dan's like, oh, no, Bella said I have to clean my room. And no, then I have to go get another producer. That's exactly how this goes.
I think I specifically said, if Matt's going to be there, I don't want to do it.
No one believes that.
No one believes that. That's fine. They don't have to. But, I mean, me and my own thoughts, Ken. Maybe I'm schizophrenic. I don't know. But, you know, it is what it is.
It is what it is. It is what it is. The official.
We were on like a two-week streak the other week.
We were, yeah. 2 weeks in a row. That was really something else.
And then I went on vacation, and you went on vacation, and now here we are.
We have completely incompatible schedules as of late.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know what? It is what it is.
We're back now, baby.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere anytime soon, are you?
I have a couple jobs in the next couple weeks, but I should be able to do the show.
All right, well, let's try to make a little extra effort, pretend that you care, and see if we can connect.
I more than likely should. They shouldn't go all day.
Okay. Well,
I should be good.
We'll give it our best, folks, because there's going to be a lot to talk about, because unbelievably, we're already getting into August. The summer is flying by. Labor Day is already mere weeks away, and that means it's almost time for the fall and pumpkin spice and elections, mailers, commercials, all the things that you love that come about when the temperatures start to cool just a little. I'm not trying to rush or wish anybody's life away. I want to try to get in some more beach time myself, but those are the realities of the calendar. So we can't pretend that they don't exist. I'll tell you one thing that I wish I could pretend didn't exist, Daniel. I was preparing for this episode and I was checking out, innocently of course, some of the latest Sydney Sweeney news. I'm sure you folks have heard that Sydney Sweeney in the news right now because apparently an attractive white, blonde hair, blue eye girl selling jeans is racist in 2025. Go figure.
But had no idea. But Beyonce wearing Levi's is art.
Yes. Yeah. Beyonce made a substantially similar commercial or participated in a substantially similar ad campaign, and nobody said a darn thing.
It was art.
It was art.
It was art.
It was art. But now this is Nazi propaganda, according to plenty of lefties out there, both in the social media sphere and elsewhere. And some lefty celebrities are reacting to Sydney Sweeney trying to get a bite of the apple. And just let's be clear about something. They're not really outraged.
Do you
they
think
recognize that being a part of this is good for their brand. So their agents are lighting up their phones and saying, yo, take a shot at Sydney Sweeney. Then the media will cover you too. And maybe you'll sell a few more tracks online.
Here's a question I got for you. If Sydney Sweeney was a liberal,
she is. I don't know.
I think she's been open about having like MAGA birthday parties.
Oh, is she?
I think so.
I don't know anything.
I can double check that. But if she was like a raging liberal, do you think there would be this much outrage?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
There's no logic to this stuff. And I make the same mistake that everyone does. I consider myself generally logical, so I try to apply logic in these situations and understand why people are upset. But then I pretty quickly snap out of it and realize, hold on a second. When a toddler is having a tantrum, you can't rationalize it. When someone is emoting, it's the realm of emotion. There's nothing that can be said to get through to them. Sometimes you can, you know, verbally kind of slap them back into reality. People are hurting right now because there's a lot of cultural insanity out there. People have been infected by the woke mind virus in this country, and many have woken up, but plenty are still in the grips of it, and there are plenty of stars that are trying to take advantage. Lizzo is what I was referencing before. I wish I could unsee. She posted a picture of herself in jeans. Looks like too much sausage and not enough casing. But she was trying to be cute, Dan, which cute and Lizzo don't usually get rolled out in the same sentence. But
to some people, maybe.
I guess. Teach their own, right?
Also, I did find there was a picture back in August of 22 that Sydney Sweeney posted family photos of her mother's birthday, which some of her family members were wearing Blue Lives Matter shirts, and some had... other photos from the event saw partygoers wearing parodied MAGA hats. So,
oh, interesting. Yeah,
not going to say that, you know, she might be a maggot, as they all say, but I wouldn't say that she's a raging liberal.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean anything. But the point is how people are reacting.
Correct.
Right? Her views don't have anything to do with it, which is part of the irony here. I think this young star got offered a ton of money by American Eagle to look hot in jeans.
No, I also don't know how people get a Nazi propaganda out of this. It's literally just someone advertising jeans. Although, I will say there is one problem with the ad.
What's
just
that?
One.
What's that?
American Eagle is mainly for middle school and high school girls. Mm-hmm. So you're using Sydney Sweeney, who has the sex appeal to men, mm-hmm. to appeal to middle school and high school females. I don't think that's necessarily going to work. But to each their own. I'm not marketing for a reason.
Why wouldn't it?
Why would it?
The whole, and that's part of what these feminists are upset about. They're concerned about Sydney Sweeney being held up to young women as the model of what is attractive. That's part of what they're allegedly upset about here.
Okay, so you have an attractive white woman trying to advertise jeans, and all of a sudden it's Nazi propaganda because she has blonde hair and blue eyes.
Right, because a lot of fat, ugly people, leftists who are miserable and hate themselves, don't want young girls holding Sydney Sweeney out, and people look like Sydney Sweeney, as a model for how they should look. God forbid.
I don't see it. I think everyone's making a big deal out of this. I really do.
Oh, well, of course they're making too big of a deal out of us. There's nothing there, but you stumbled on something a minute ago, my friend. I don't know what Sydney Sweeney's politics are, but some of what you are seeing here is a reaction to the shift that's happening in American culture and American politics. Pew Research has some new data out about the partisan swing among different age demographics from 23, the year before the election, to 25, where we sit now. Men 18 to 29, youngins like producer Dan Valdez, 44% swing in the Republican direction. 44%. That's like everyone your age, Dan, just got up and walked to the right. And it's not just men. I mean, it's less pronounced, but women 18 to 29, a 14% jump in the Republican direction. Men 30 to 49, that's my age demo, a 15% increase. The only demographic which is getting a little bit more blue, men 65 plus. They've moved over the course of the past 2 years, 6 points in the Democrat direction. I think some of that is the baby boomers getting older, their testosterone dropping. Some of them are getting tired and they're sitting to pee. There you go, right?
Yeah.
That's the sign.
I mean, sometimes I sit to pee, but I also miss the toilet sometimes. So,
well, yeah, I mean, we can only imagine what Bella does if you miss the toilet.
Yells at me, beats me.
Beat you, whatever. You can't do Matt's show for 3 weeks.
Nope.
She's a lovely young lady, folks. I don't want to make her out to be a monster. We both jealously fight over dance time. That's what it is.
Yeah, I'm just a hot commodity nowadays, like Sydney Sweeney is with the liberals.
Yeah, whereas, you know, you treat me more like the Lizzo. But let me make my point about Lizzo, because this is significant. So Lizzo posts, I don't know whether it was Instagram or where the heck it is. I think it was her Instagram page. And it's her striking a Sydney Sweeney pose, wearing all blue jeans, and it says, if the Democrats won the election. You know, again, the clear implication being that these horrible Nazi Republicans wouldn't be getting their way and able to peddle their propaganda if Kamala Harris had won. Well, you know what? There's some truth to what Lizzo is saying, even though she doesn't understand the point that she's making. This has nothing to do with Nazism or fascism or any of the other words they love to overuse but don't really understand. What Donald Trump has done, his singular achievement in the history of our country, is to knock wokeness on its rear end and make it okay to stand up to this crap. It's a monumental achievement that Dunkin' Donuts and American Eagle and these other iconic American brands can now just run normal advertising and not have to worry about DEI quotas or any of this other crap which has infiltrated our society in recent years, and do so without feeling the necessity of apologizing the minute somebody's feelings are hurt, the second someone is triggered. Culture, okay, our politics is always downhill from it. So as courage, which is contagious, continues to spread in the culture, we're going to be a healthier society for organizations, companies, corporations, brands, just everyday people like you and I, no longer living in fear of these people. So Lizzo has a point, but just for the wrong reason. Donald Trump made it okay to not care about this superficial crap that the left always wants you to obsess over. And one of the ironies of this Nazi thing, they're saying that Dunkin' Donuts and American Eagle are spreading Nazi propaganda. The last time I think we had cultural insanity in a developed country on the scale of the woke mind virus was probably Germany in the 1930s. These people are the true fascists.
I hear that was a great time. You know, I hear the weather was great. I hear it was horrible to go to, but other than that, I hear it was great.
Well, you've always been a big schnitzel guy.
Se bueno, schnitzel.
Oh, he does impressions, folks. He's here so infrequently, you may have forgotten.
Yeah.
It's not as good as your British accent, though.
Oh, here's another one. Just found this out. Sydney Sweeney appears in a new Hey Dude ad wearing a tight one piece and a cowboy hat.
Hey now.
That just popped up on my Twitter yesterday. I didn't know that was a thing, but it's here.
Don't be looking that up on company computers, my friend.
Too late. That's too late.
We're going to have to throw out that keyboard.
It's all right. I'll explain to Greg and Frank what happened, and they'll be like, it makes sense.
No, just Dan being Dan.
Yeah.
But the anger out there on the left is real. These people are hurting because they're mentally ill, and if you don't believe me, We have some proof. We like to come with receipts, as the saying goes. Cut number one, just one of the many liberal women that's angry at Sydney Sweeney. And not really, let's be clear about this, angry at Sydney Sweeney, but angry at what Sydney Sweeney's popularity and the failure of American Eagle to get back down from their crazy ranting means about the direction this country's heading in.
If anyone from American Eagle who was involved in the creation of Sydney Sweeney's most recent advertisement booked into my Pilates class, I would give them the hardest exercise class that I was capable of doing on the lightest possible spring load with zero breath cues. And I would make it the toughest exercise class that they'd ever experienced in their lives.
Okay, two things wrong with that. One, it sounds like the Kmart version of Kamala Harris. It's exactly what it sounds like. And two, the person talking probably needs the harder exercise class, so she should probably look into doing the harder one herself.
Yeah, she probably should. Look, again, I want to be clear about something. We all know I'm handsome. I can't help it. It's the way God made me. Matt Rudy has good genes. But people tell me. People tell me this. But I had a Ken doll. I got a dad bod, right? I'm not saying anyone.
Yeah, you do.
I'm not. All right.
You like that bourbon?
I do like that bourbon. Everybody's got to die of something, Dan. It's my attitude.
Diabetes.
Remember those old commercials?
Diabetes.
Diabetes. You get your diabetes medication.
Yep.
No, but my point that I'm making is I'm not saying that I'm so beautiful, but the difference is, you know, I got a dad bod. I don't see a guy with a six pack and hate him because he's in shape. These angry, nasty liberal women hate Sydney Sweeney because she's beautiful. It's really that simple. Yes, they hate what they think she represents, the triumph of a certain worldview, but it's also just jealousy. And you look at this woman that you just heard a moment ago. She looks like Droopy Dog. Remember that like Droopy Dog with the big jowls from the cartoons? No. Had a baby with Miss Piggy.
I don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know Droopy Dog?
Muppets?
No. Well, yes, Miss Piggy's a Muppet, but Droopy Dog isn't.
That was probably before my time. Well, yeah, that was before my time, dog.
Most things are before your time.
Yeah, that was before my time.
Yeah. Yeah.
1943, that's Nazi propaganda.
Dun, dun, dun. Now, I mentioned the Dunkin' Donuts ad. So Dunkin' Donuts saw that American Eagle was getting ready and poised to make bank over at Sydney Sweeney ad. I don't know who this young guy is, but he's a good-looking guy. He's from some show that Dan and Bella probably watch, but I've never heard of.
What's the show?
I don't know what it's called. I just read that he's from some kind of show. His name's Gavin Castellagno or something.
I've never heard of that.
I have no idea, but he's a pretty boy. He's a pretty boy. So here's another angry, I think as you would say as a Gen Z or mid-looking white woman, angry over the fact that a decent-looking white guy is repping a major American brand. Cut number three.
Look, I didn't ask to be the king of summer. It just kind of happened. This tan? Genetics. I just got my color analysis back. Guess what? Golden summer. Literally. I can't help it. Every time I drink a Dunkin' Golden Hour Refresher, it's like the sun just finds me. So if sipping these refreshers makes me the king of summer, guilty as charged. The Golden Hour Refresher. Only at Dunkin'.
Sounds like a delightful drink.
Yeah. Yeah. So now you got to listen to the young lady melting down over it, though. And I think I made that cut number three, didn't I?
I just played cut number three.
Really? Because when I click on it, it's a young woman complaining about the use of genetics in ad marketing.
Okay. I see what it did. I could play it if you want. I got it.
You've always got me.
Hell yeah.
You got good.
Marketing girly and human with eyes here. It is a bad idea in a post-Sydney Sweeney world here where the ad that she just did is being criticized, rightfully so, for the use of the word genetics and having it low-key feel very eugenics-based. To then have Duncan push out this creative days later when the whole internet is literally talking about how bad that ad was. This ad with Jeremiah, I don't know his real name, mentioning the word genetics, and it's not in the same way-ish as the Sydney Sweeney one, but it is now interpreted that way. So it would have been okay for the social girly, for the marketing girly, the marketing director, top level, CMO, should have said, I just saw that this scandal is breaking out and we use the word genetics. We cannot put this creative out. We have to rework it. I know we've spent X amount of dollars and X amount of time, but like we have to rework it because this now looks incredibly tasteless, borderline, if not 100% racist, and it's really not a good look. So Dunkin' is usually really good with their marketing and their influencer and celeb pairs, but this is a huge miss given the current climate.
Yeah, see, opposite, right? The current climate is Americans are tired of individuals like the one you just heard complaining about a Dunkin' Donuts ad and the fact that a handsome guy was making a joke about how his genetics is sunshine in the summer. Because he looks like a surfer guy, right? He looks like he rolled out of a magazine about, you know, Newport Beach in California. There's nothing racist about it. There's nothing bigoted. There's nothing Nazi-ish. You wish these folks could look in a mirror and see that the problem is their misery, their self-loathing, their warped, angry, sad worldview, and that the rest of us have made a conscious decision that we don't want to be sad and angry and divided all the time. We don't want to live in a world that sees an ad and immediately assumes there's some kind of sinister undertone or overtone, right, that a marketer's trying to shove down our throat. We just want to enjoy a coffee drink. We want to wear comfortable jeans. We want to like our fellow Americans and not assume the worst of them. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And as evidenced by the popularity of these ads and these brands and some of that polling data I just smacked you in the face with, I think most people agree with us, and that's a good thing. Remember, you're listening to the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. Make sure you subscribe if you're listening via the podcast. We're going to take a break, and then we'll be back to kick our show off in earnest. We're going to be joined shortly by our guest on this episode, the great Scott Pressler. I'm going to ask him whether or not he likes Dunkin' Donuts. He gets around enough. I'm thinking the guy's got to drink coffee. You're a Dunkin' Donuts guy?
I do. I mean, sometimes their coffee's hit or miss, but Dunkin's usually.
I like the
cheap option.
I like the cold brew.
All right. All right.
Yeah, it's good. And they got the sweet cold foam. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a sweet cold foam guy. So we could ask Scott about his efforts to help flip my home state of New Jersey, what's going on nationally. He's a smart guy and he's plugged in, but we'll probably spend the next 15 minutes talking about coffee.
Yep.
Fair warning. Let's play some ads, make some money. Hopefully they're Dunkin' Donuts or American Eagle ads, and we'll be back in a second.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Back on the Matt Rooney Show, where we've got good genes. That's been well established. You know that if you listen every week here on 1210 WPHT. I got to find out what drink he was knocking down there, Daniel, in the ad. It's some kind of golden hour tea, I think. I don't think it's a coffee. I think it's some kind of tea.
Golden hour Dunkin' refresher.
A refresher? So what is juice?
It's a tropical combination of mango, pineapple, and strawberry dragon fruit. And you can mix it with lemonade, green tea, or like a seltzer water.
Okay. Well, it sounds like diabetes in a cup, but I'm down for it.
It's actually really good. Had one this morning.
Oh, did you have one?
I had a refresher, not the golden hour, but I had a refresher.
I had no idea you were a Nazi.
You can't see me, but you know exactly what I'm doing.
Oh, man, Lizzo. Lizzo's not going to be your friend anymore.
That's fine.
Yeah, I think you'll get over that one. But let's talk to somebody that we're proud to call a friend here on 1210 WPHT. Really, he's one of those figures in Republican politics at the moment that doesn't need an introduction. He helped defeat Kamala Harris in 2024, by turning the Philly suburbs red. He is a one-man Republican voter registration and ballot-chasing machine. He played a key role in that victory, catapulting President Trump and J.D. Vance to the White House. And now, lucky for my fellow New Jerseyans, he's decided to bring early vote action to the Great Garden State as we battle to defeat Mikey Sherrill and elect Jack Cittarelli, who'd be the state's first Republican governor elected in about 12 years. So let's check in with Scott Pressler and find out what's going on the ground in my home state. Scott, thanks for joining us again on the Matt Rooney Show. Welcome back, sir.
Hey, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me.
I am enjoying watching you jet around the Garden State. First question isn't that substantive, but that's fine. It's an icebreaker. Dunkin' Donuts, Starbucks, you have to drink some kind of caffeine to be able to maintain your schedule.
I do. Well, actually, I'm on a health journey. I have lost 40 pounds in 4 months. Not that, you know, I had a whole bunch to lose.
Right.
But I'm inspired by RFK Jr. And just listen, I want to be around to be 110 years old so I can vote for Republicans for the next, you know, couple decades. So I want to stick around. And what I do now is I get my espresso and I add cinnamon to it, some almond milk and some zero sugar creamer. And I make my own coffee now. And that's how I jet around all 21 counties in the Garden State.
I was just going to ask you how to make coffee maha, because I'd imagine the way that it's usually served up at a place like Dunkin', probably not so. But maybe we're moving in that direction. So now we know Scott's secret, how he's able to pull it off. You are been running around all 21 counties trying to register Republicans in the Garden State. I think since the last gubernatorial election, Republicans have closed the statewide registration gap with the D's by about 200,000 voters, continuing to
yes.
close. Tell us, what are you seeing and hearing out there on the ground as you go to farm fairs and festivals and just door to door in my home?
Well, let's set up the context for a moment and give the listeners a little bit of perspective. People that might go, oh my gosh, New Jersey is so blue. Scott, Matt, Daniel, why are you guys wasting your time on Jersey? And I really want people's focus to shift. 2021, Jack was the candidate 4 years ago, and he only narrowly lost by 84,000 votes. And any politico will tell you that that was a much more favorable time for the Democrats. And the Democrats, as you just mentioned, had more registered Democrats, and they still only narrowly won that election. So now, 4 years later, Republicans have more enthusiasm than ever. Kamala only won the state by 5 percentage points. And you're seeing President Trump's victories that I think are ultimately going to help Jack Cittarelli win. And what I mean by that, no offshore wind. That's a big one. No tax on tips in Atlantic City with our beautiful casinos and hospitality workers. And the salt cap being raised. That's going to help New York with Elise Stefanik. That helps Jack and our congressional candidates in 2026. And I think the last thing that I really want to hone in on, and my very limited understanding of New Jersey, I know Pennsylvania like the back of my hand. I'm learning New Jersey.
I've been here for 40 years, Scott, and I'm still figuring out New Jersey. So don't feel bad about that.
Right? Everyone says, Scott, you know, some people, they'll go to Camden, go to Essex, go to Hudson, go to Bergen. And yes, while I agree with that, and I agree with bringing our conservative message to bluer areas, we are employing, gentlemen, a 21 county strategy. And I believe ultimately the way that we're going to win is a huge sky high turnout, not only depressing the margins in those blue counties, but getting Hunterdon, Salem, Warren, and huge turnout in Atlantic, Monmouth, Cape May, and Ocean. And that is how we're going to defeat Mikey Sherrill this November.
You're not wrong. I mean, I remember way back in 2009 when Chris Christie 1 in New Jersey, which, by the way, that's not a bad point either. Never forget this, folks. I say it all the time. Every time there's a major national revolution in the Republicans' favor, it always starts in New Jersey. We won in New Jersey before the 94 Republican Revolution. We won in the Garden State before the 2010 Tea Party Revolution. So if you want national momentum, it's got to start here. But you're not wrong, Scott. I remember in 09 watching on election night, hearing the reports from various parts of the state. I knew we were going to win because I heard about 2 and 3 hour lines in Ocean County.
Yes.
One of the reddest parts of New Jersey. And it's just, Scott knows this better than anyone. It's math. If everyone that voted for Donald Trump in 2024 gets off their rear end and shows up in early votes or returns their ballot or goes on a machine this year, Jack Cittarelli will be the next governor of New Jersey. True or false?
Correct. 100%. And yes, persuasion is important. Yes, conversion is important. But this is an off-year election. This is 2025. You know as well as I do, we are not going to have 2024 level of turnout for either the Republicans nor the Democrats. My assessment is this is a base turnout election. This is simply who can get the most enthusiasm in their camp to come out this November, and that will elect the next governor. And so definitely our goal is courting people of faith. We are going into the mosques. A member of our Early Vote Action family is a member of the Muslim community. We're going to Lakewood in beautiful Ocean County, going to gun shops like We Shoot, also courting the Jewish community in Passaic County. And correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, but Passaic is the first time it went for Republican president since, I believe, 1988. And we're also courting, again, the hunters, fraternity students, moms and dads, and every single property homeowner in the Garden State, because property taxes are just way too gosh darn high. And so our message is, you voted for Donald Trump, you come out for Jack Cittarelli, you will replace disgraced Democrat Phil Murphy with a Republican.
It's a base election. That's absolutely true. But if you listen to the same folks, the talking heads out there in the media and elsewhere that tried to depress us, they tried this in 24, they tried this in every cycle, you would be led to believe that the GOP base is fracturing right now over Epstein, over the big, beautiful bill, whatever the case may be. I haven't seen any evidence of it, but you get around more than anyone. Do you see any evidence of it?
Well, let's talk data. We're going to get our new data for the month of this last month for New Jersey, literally tomorrow.
That's right.
So I'll be able to tell you that data, and I'm sure you're going to assess it. But let's talk Pennsylvania for a second. Anyone that thinks that MAGA is fracturing, anyone that thinks that Republicans are turning Democrat, I can tell you simply that that's just not true. And to give you a context of what we're doing in Pennsylvania, which we're going to bring that same energy to New Jersey, is 2008, there were 1.2 million more registered Democrats than Republicans in the next door neighbor, Pennsylvania. That number, even after 2024 presidential election, is down to 56,583 active voters. We are 56,000 voters away from flipping the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And furthermore, last point, because it's a closed primary state like New Jersey, we get data on there are more Democrats switching to Republican than vice versa. There are more Democrats switching to other or independent than vice versa. And so those data points show me in a state that shares one border with New Jersey, that no, MAGA is not fracturing.
MAGA is not fracturing, and we also have something to swing at this year in New Jersey. The Democrats, once again, they just can't help themselves. They should go for someone that's more moderate, someone that could appeal to Main Street just the same as Wall Street. Instead, they went for someone who has been accused of insider trading, Mikey Sherrill, who I think that when I say it, people assume that I'm being hyperbolic, Scott. I think Mikey Sherrill is to the left of Phil Murphy. I think she's crazier than Phil Murphy.
I agree. Well, and look at something that even John Fetterman and senators in Nevada, and I believe even Slotkin in Michigan, correct me if I'm wrong, those Democrat senators all voted in favor of passing the Lake and Riley Act. And Mikey Sherrill, a member of Congress, voted against protecting women and children and New Jersey families from criminal illegal aliens. And I do believe I just read yesterday that an illegal alien just killed a New Jersey American in this state. And if Mikey Sherrill, gosh forbid, is elected governor, that means unsafe streets for our families. That means more crime is going to be allowed in the Garden State. And look at, lastly, the difference in the people that were chosen for lieutenant governor partners of these candidates. Mikey chooses an elitist snob, and then you have Jack Chattarelli that chooses a sheriff. Jack Chattarelli chooses law and order. Jack Chattarelli chooses someone that has committed his life to serving and protecting the people. And I think that really speaks volumes of the differences between these campaigns and who's going to win this November.
And in New Jersey, when the governor leaves the state, when the governor's getting some kind of procedure and has to go under anesthesia, that person is going to lead. So to Scott's point, we see these stories every day. There were four illegal alien child sex offenders that were recently apprehended by ICE in New Jersey. Do you think that they're truly the only four? No, there's got to be hundreds of thousands of these guys who were led into this country by Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and of course given sanctuary by nutty sanctuary state governors like Phil Murphy. This is a pivot point for New Jersey and the rest of the nation. So I know you're doing your damnedest as you always do, and you actually have a big rally coming up that you're hosting. I believe Jack Chattarelli is attending, coming up in just a week or so in Ocean County, right?
Yes, we are doing a unity rally. And before I talk about that, I just want to say one thing, because I am like Joe Biden and I am forgetful. So if I don't say it, I will forget. So
just don't try to sniff anybody, and you're allowed to come on this program anytime you want.
Listen, I have 22-inch hair. If Joe Biden met me, he would definitely sniff my hair 100%. It's clean. It's fresh. I take care of it. But then again, I am too old. So anyway, one thing that's very important to note to anybody that's on the fence, if you do want law and order in the Garden State, the governor, correct me if I'm wrong, appoints the attorney general. This is a generational change time, pivotal point in New Jersey, that if you change up your governor and elect Republican Jack Chattarelli, you will have a law and order attorney general incoming. Now, our unity rally is at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday, August 9th. So sorry to our members of the Jewish community, but that's the only day that we could do. Saturday, August 9th. And we're going to have Jack, myself, Sid Rosenberg is going to be our MC. And this is going to be at the Beachcomber Bar and Grill in Seaside Heights. Again, they go, Scott, why are you doing an ocean? We want sky high turnout. And I have to say one last thing. I know I talk a lot, but this is important because a lot of people are going to listen to this with 1210. Is if you're a Spadia supporter, I want your vote. I court your vote. If you're an Ed Durst supporter, I want your vote. If you're a Mario Krajicek supporter, I want your vote. If you're a Senator Bramnick supporter, I want your vote. If you're a Justin Barbara voter, I want your vote. And I am speaking directly to you, and I am courting you. All of our 2A people, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, lower property taxes, no offshore wind, medical freedom, school choice. If you fall under any of those issues, I court you, and I want your vote for Jack Chattarelli on Tuesday, November 4th, 2025.
Amen. And I got to tell you, Scott, one of the things I always appreciate when I hear you on 1210, when I see you interviewed elsewhere, it'd be so easy to do what all of the other so-called influencers do and just fall into a camp or a tribe and dig in and try to rile people up. You're always trying to bring the coalition together. I think if more influencers, I hate that damn term, but I can't think of another one to use, you know, had that attitude, we'd be even stronger than we already are. Tell us before we let you go, because we know you've got a lot going on, how we can find out more about early vote action and how we can assist.
Earlyvoteaction.com has 13 full-time staff on the ground across New Jersey's 21 counties. We also have a resource page on our website that you can download New Jersey voter registration applications, download flyers, graphics, set up your own table. We would love to work with you, to partner with you. You can sign up and commit to vote at earlyvoteaction.com, and I am going to shoot my shot. If anybody has either small or big pockets, any donation going to earlyvoteaction.com doesn't go to me. I don't take a dime from my own organization. It will go to hiring full-time staff so that way we can register more Republican voters, we can get out the vote, and we can replace disgraced Democrat Phil Murphy with a Republican governor this November.
It's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, folks. I'm speaking as a guy that runs a website called SaveJersey.com that I've been operating for 17, 18 years. We win this one, we can turn it around in New Jersey. We don't win this one, I don't know. I don't know if I can blame anyone for starting to look for real estate in Florida, which we know we love our friends down there. It's beautiful, but the pizza tastes like ketchup on a cracker. So we want to save the Garden State, and Scott Pressler is helping make that happen this year. My friend, always appreciate you carving out a little bit of your very rare time for us. And as we move forward into the fall, definitely keep us in the loop. We want to know how we can help.
I will. And last thing, real quick, let's end on a super high note, Matt Rooney, and thank you for having me. At this time, 4 years ago, they had Phil Murphy up over 20 points over Jack Chattarelli. Now Mikey Sherrill is up only 8 points with 16% undecided. This is winnable, and I say two words, Matt: game on.
The game is on, folks, and I like our team. Scott Pressler is a part of it. He ain't wrong. He rarely is. This is a winnable race. Get in the game. Get off the bench. You're never going to forgive yourself if you're not a part of this fight. Sir, be safe out there.
Thank you.
Next time I see you, we owe you an espresso. Now that we
Heck
know
yes.
how you take it.
Heck yes. Let's go.
You're listening to the Matt Rooney Show, ladies and gents. We are capitalists around here, unapologetically so. So we're going to take a break, play some ads, make some money, and we'll be back in just a moment.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Don't you worry. When we get back for our second hour, we're going to dig into the latest Russiagate revelations. This, you know, back when we were all chanting lock her up in 2016, sure, I thought Hillary Clinton belonged in jail back then for deleting the emails, if nothing else. But did we know exactly how deep the rabbit hole went? I'm not sure anybody can honestly say they did. This is 24 cinematic movie worthy stuff that has been unearthed by Kash Patel and the Department of Justice. So yeah, we're gonna devote some time to talking to that. Also, since producer Dan is here, we are going to have to subject you, I'm sorry, trigger warnings and all that stuff, to Twit Talk. I mean, I'm assuming there's Twit Talk tonight.
Of course.
So leave out your milk and cookies for Santa Dan and be prepared to be shocked, horrified, all that stuff at the end of our second hour. But I can't let this hour pass since we started out talking Sydney Sweeney without sharing absolutely the most unhinged reaction that I've seen to this pair of ads from American Eagle and Dunkin' Donuts that are being labeled racist, fascist, whatever, by wacky leftists. This, I have to set the scene because it's the limitation of the medium. You can't see it. This is an old lady. She's got crooked glasses. She's specifically complaining about Emil Bove. Emil Bove, you may recall, is now been confirmed by the Senate, and he's going to be on the Third Circuit Court of Appeals, which actually takes in New Jersey and Pennsylvania, which is awesome. It's going to help. But he's another jurist that the left loves to hate because he's not a radical. He's not an activist. He's there to interpret the Constitution and protect the rule of law. So naturally, they don't like him. So this old lady with crooked glasses positively melts down over his confirmation and the situation in Gaza. And if aliens arrive from another planet and said, could you explain to us what's wrong with the left in 2025, I'd probably save them a lot of time by just showing them this video.
Well, I hope you're happy, maggots. You got your damn Emil Bova as a justice for life. And you've got 2 million people starving to death in Gaza. Have a good one, you f***ing maggots.
Does she know she can take a breath, right? She knows that she can breathe. I'm glad she tried to get it all out, but she can breathe, man.
She needs to speak to the other crazy lady we heard from cut number one, who's saying that she's not going to give people, what was the phraseology, courtesy breaths at her yoga class?
Oh, yeah. She wants to give them the hardest workout.
Yeah, she wants to give them the hardest workout. So maybe these two need to get together. Maybe crazy crooked glass lady just needs to go to that fitness studio and pull it together a little bit. Maybe releasing some endorphins would make her a happier person.
You know who the vegan teacher is?
No.
Oh, well, that's what I feel like that woman looks like. The vegan teacher is basically someone all over TikTok and just praises veganism. So that's what I feel like she looks like a white bob and like really brown glasses.
I don't trust people that don't eat animals, just instinctively. It actually was a crushing moment for me because I'm obviously a big Dom Giordano fan, been listening to him for decades now. When I found out Dom didn't eat baby cows and chicken and stuff like that, he redeemed himself because he's a pescatarian. He eats fish.
Yeah.
So that's the only reason Dom and I could still talk.
That's fun.
Oh, Daniel, how we miss you here on the Matt Rooney Show. Let's take a time out to fill our coffee mugs, pop some popcorn, do whatever it is you do to enjoy our little program here on 1210 WPHT. And when we come back, our dose of dose for the benefit of our bilingual listeners here on 1210 WPHT. Don't go anywhere.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand with Matt Rooney.
Welcome back, old friends, new frenemies, and all who lie elsewhere in between on the spectrum that is life. I am Matt Rooney. This is the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. We have arrived at August. Summer is in the final countdown. I know. If Dan Cerucci, our regular guest and friend, was here, he would lecture me that summer really doesn't end till the end of September. And that's true. It's not inaccurate, but let's be honest. For those of us that have kids, once you get to Labor Day, that's the curtain call. So you got to soak it up while you still can, and then you have to prepare for full-on political combat through the first Tuesday in November. That's what we're doing here on this program. And how do we do it? We review the week gone by to prepare you for the week ahead. We do it better than anyone else out there in the world. Bold claim, but I'm a bold man and this is a bold program. And we are joined tonight by our regular producer who's making a special guest appearance, Dan Valdez, the man who is 1/8 Hispanic but 100% heart.
Oh, that's the second nicest thing you've ever said to me.
I said 2 nice things to you tonight.
Yep.
I think it's Scott Pressler's like almost annoying levels of optimism.
I will say that
affectionately.
I will say, anytime you do say something nice to me, we're usually in a recession, so that kind of correlates to something. So anytime you say something nice, that means we're going into a recession. I don't make the questions. I'm not a mathematician. I'm just relying information.
Did you get that from Jerome Powell? Who told you this?
Don't worry about it. My own sources.
Your own sources? Have we known each other during a recession?
Google Gemini. Wait, what? Yeah, I think the last recession was like what, 2008?
Yeah, well, I mean that was a baddie.
Yeah.
That was a baddie.
Yeah, it was.
Studies show that my generation, the millennials, will never really quite recover because we went into the job market during the immediate aftermath or during the Great Recession. So it stunted your entry level salary. So even though
go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's your show. Go ahead.
I don't know why I just thought of this. But you know that you can now pay the government through Venmo.
What do you mean? Your taxes?
No, like the state debt or like the country debt. You can now pay the country debt through Venmo.
Oh, you're talking about donations. Oh, I read that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can Venmo a gift to help Uncle Sam.
Because the government doesn't take enough of your money.
Correct. So the Americans.
Why not give them more?
So they can use Venmo or like PayPal to help pay off the U.S. debt.
So what's interesting is the program, it's called the Gifts to Reduce the Public Debt Program.
That's
at least literal. I'll give them that much. It's been in existence since 1961. And over the course of all of those decades, they've brought in about $67 million, which, you know, $67 million, it's better than a kick in the rear. I'd take it. Don't get me wrong. But up against the national debt over that period of time, it's a drop of water in the ocean. Ain't going to do a whole hell of a lot. So I don't think I'm going to be using Venmo or PayPal to give Uncle Sam any extra money anytime soon. But hey, folks, it's your money if you want to flush it down the toilet.
You know what's crazy?
What?
They want to ask for Venmo, but they're also going to tax your Venmo transactions if it's over $600.
So it's an interesting question. Would they tax your gift to the government?
I don't know. That's a good question, though. Because I think starting this past year, they're taxing anything over $600 on Venmo if you've made that much. Like, you have to report it, obviously. I mean, who's reporting that on Venmo? But, like, if you're
paying, it's their way to try to crack down on the gig economy, right? So people pay each other for Etsy through Venmo or PayPal or whatever. They don't want you to hide the money.
You can pay them through Etsy.
Yeah, I think it's starting next year, if memory serves. The threshold is supposed to drop to 600. At the moment, it's higher. I think it's like 2,500 or something like that.
It's somewhere up there, but I know that it's dropping down to 600 soon.
Yes. I pay Daniel with rock candy.
Oh, it's 5,000, which was lowered from 20,000 currently.
Even that's pretty damn low.
They're required to issue a 1099-K to users who receive more than $5,000 in payments for good or services. I mean, what?
Yeah. Well, and this is the joke of the Biden years, right? When they told us they were hiring those 87,000 new IRS agents, and they said, oh, well, don't worry. We're only going after the rich guys.
Yeah.
There aren't enough rich guys in this country to squeeze to pay for our priorities, let alone do something like pay down the national debt, which is massive at this point. So they're naturally going to have to come after the working class, the middle class. And sure enough, that's what happened during the Biden years. Audits were up among the middle class, and they pursued BS like this. I mean, you know, it ain't Bill Gates, folks. It ain't Elon Musk that has to worry about whether or not their $600 threshold on PayPal is going to be taxed. No, it's the person that's got a side job. They sell jewelry on Etsy, right? They're a photographer that takes wedding photos and get paid via PayPal. These are working people. They're the ones that were getting dunked on.
By
leftists.
When I did wedding videos, I gave them the option. I was like, you can use PayPal, Venmo, check, or whatever.
If I hired you, I would say whatever. I'll pay you whatever.
Yeah, they sent Venmo, but I'm not at that threshold, which is weird because I had high prices. But we're not going to discuss that if anyone from the government's listening. Also, I sell things on Facebook Marketplace, so now I have the Square app. So essentially, people can just pay with their card.
You sell things on Facebook Marketplace?
I do.
Like what?
I just sold my wedding equipment, like wedding cameras and all that kind of stuff, because I don't really do it that much, and they were just taking up dust. So I sold my last two cameras on there. I've sold some computer parts.
So it's actually legit stuff.
Yeah. Not like, I don't know what you think I'm selling on Facebook Marketplace, but it's like,
well, there was that TikTok influencer years ago who was farting in a jar and selling it.
No, not me. Although
that wasn't you.
Someone would probably buy it, but I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. There'd be a every 12-10 listener. But have their Dan jar.
There is an OnlyFans model who sells her bathwater.
God, that's so messed up.
I wouldn't know. I have an empty jar that says bathwater, but I wouldn't know whose it is.
It's a little side business that Zioli's got going.
Don't worry about it.
We're not supposed to talk about it.
Zioli pays me with his bathwater.
These big stars are quirky, folks. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It'd be what it be. Speaking about quirky, I try to keep everyone abreast of when we encounter new levels of depravity and sanity out there on the American left. They're suffering in a big way. We talked about it in our first hour in reference to the backlash against Sidney Sweeney and the Dunkin' Donuts commercial. Well, they're still continuing their assault on your children. We've been talking less about it because the election's over, but don't think just because Donald Trump won that Democrats are going to lay off your kids. I've always explained it very simply when somebody says to me, hey, Matt, can you articulate why they're so obsessed with getting drag queens in front of children, talking about sex to very young school kids? Why do leftists do this? It's for the same reason that the tobacco companies, when they were in their heyday, would advertise to kids, right? The Marlboro Man, Joe Camel. No 50-year-old saw Joe Camel and said, oh, that's pretty cool. Let me start smoking. No, it was young kids that they wanted to have become addicted, right, to their products. Your brain doesn't stop developing until you're 25. We know this. So children are more susceptible.
Joe Camel is pretty cool. He would get me to start smoking.
Yeah, well, see, that's exactly what I'm talking about. We need to worry about the vulnerable in our society, like Dan. Very gentle, susceptible little people.
If I saw a camo in a tuxedo and some sunglasses, some like Miami Vice type stuff, I'd be like, give me a pack right now.
I'll take some of what you're selling.
I'll take that jar,
Mr. Camel.
Yeah, let me bum a cigarette off you, Mr. Camel.
Yeah, little camel jar, camel fart jar.
Yeah,
there's no doubt about it. So this clip is making the rounds online, and I like to share this stuff, not to outrage you. I'm not an outrage merchant like some out there in the larger universe of conservative commentary. Now, I do this because I want to remind you of what we're fighting for in New Jersey in 2025, in Pennsylvania, and everywhere else in 2026. This is Reverend Robin Bartlett of the First Church in Sterling, Massachusetts, who quotes the Bible to justify why she apparently brings her 11-year-old son to drag shows. Now, the particular verse in the Bible is John chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory and the glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So for those of you that aren't Christian, we're referring to the incarnation of Jesus Christ. All right. Jesus Somehow Christ. That, well, what was that?
Jesus Christ.
So was that a effeminate Southern mouse preacher?
No, that's a vine that you're not familiar with because you're old.
I am old. Thank you for reminding me. We're talking Sidney Sweeney's 27.
Yes.
It's like, oh my God. Like, I'm not old enough to be Sidney Sweeney's father, but like, I was in high school when Sidney Sweeney was born. That really sucks for me.
I mean, I hear she's available.
No, don't tell Mrs. Rudy that. That's not the point that I'm making, Daniel.
I wasn't talking about you.
I'm simply making the point that you get to a period in your life where, oh my God, like the big stars are significantly younger than you, and that's a sign of aging.
Yeah, I mean, you also just have gray hair, so that's that too.
All right, we're gonna move along here. I'm going to start quoting Bible verses at your rear end here in a second, my friend. I'm going to make you hang out with this lady. This is going to be your punishment. Listen to this clip. This is cut 10, and tell me whether or not this is a church that you'd want to attend.
Word became flesh and lived among us, and my body, your body, their bodies are home for the living God. Yes? Full of grace. Full of truth. That is why I take my 11-year-old boy to drag shows in the summer with my friend and fellow church leader Kate and her 11-year-old boy. I want him to know that there is no wrong way to have a body, especially if you're a man, that bodies can be celebrated and played with. I want him to know that all bodies can shapeshift and be adorned with makeup and glitter, all bodies. I want him to know that there is no wrong way to live in his body, as long as his body is not hurting other bodies, amen? I especially want him to know this if he turns out to be a heterosexual, able-bodied, and cisgendered man. I want to raise a boy who knows that he doesn't get to tell other people how to live in a body.
She was throwing out a lot of big words. I don't understand.
You and Joe Camel got up at that point in the sermon and went outside and had a smoke.
Pretty much.
There's a lot you could unpack with that one. When she said that all bodies can shapeshift, did you catch that?
Yeah, I did.
What does that mean? How can humans shapeshift? Are we mythical creatures? Are we
Pangea?
Frogs?
Pangea.
Right. Is this like an Avatar thing? Is this the Church of James Cameron? Genuinely confused by that. What does that mean? All people can shapeshift. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Part of the reason why this whole transgender thing drives me nuts. I could give less of a damn if you want to be a man and dress like a woman and go out on Saturday night. Your name is Carl at work, but you want to go by Susan when you're stepping out in, Greenwich Village, or you're down in what the hell is the neighborhood in Philly?
Thailand. All the lady boys.
Thailand is in Philadelphia?
The gayborhood?
Rittenhouse.
Okay, I don't know how you get gayborhood from Rittenhouse.
There's a lot of gay people in Rittenhouse.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
I don't know. I don't go to Philly that much, so I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't really go to Philly anymore either. The point is this. I don't give a damn what you want to do if you're like a consenting adult. But that doesn't change the laws of nature, right? Like that, like Carl, in my scenario, is not a woman. Carl is a man dressed as a woman. It doesn't change your metaphysical properties, your biology, any of that, because you've made a choice to be a shapeshifter, whatever the hell that means. And look, it's a common problem in our modern society where politics is concerned. We're constantly being gaslit and told that we have to ignore truth, ignore tradition, ignore empirical science to avoid offending someone. I mean, that's part of what all this American Eagle Sidney Sweeney crap's about, right? Like, we have to be offended that even though we live in a country, right, that is as diverse as anywhere else on the planet and has done a better job than just about any other country on the planet of assimilating people from different beliefs, different backgrounds. We're supposed to believe that one white girl in an American Eagle ad is some kind of act of cultural violence against millions of people. Like no, that's insane. I don't want to live in that world. And this is a species of an outgrowth of the same cancer. It truly is, folks. But I mean, the only comfort I can find in any of it is all evidence suggests that congregations like Reverend Robin Bartlett's are not growing. They're shrinking. Gen Z is pushing back against this crap, right? I think Gen Z is a more libertarian generation, and you can speak up for your own here, Daniel, in the sense that, as I said, you know, if an adult wants to make a decision, as long as you're not hurting somebody else, it's really none of your business. Yeah. But Gen Z also doesn't want to be lied to. Gen Z doesn't want to be BS. They don't want to be gaslit. If it has a penis and it's got an Adam's apple and it's wearing a dress, it's not a woman. It's not someone that can participate in girls' sport and has some kind of fundamental right to do so. Like, no, it's a dude in a dress. That person deserves to be treated with dignity. That person deserves the same rights as any other dude, but nothing more. I mean, am I misstating where Gen Z is on this, Daniel? Feel free to correct me.
Yes and no. I think there's
and I'm not asking for you to speak for yourself, because to be clear, Dan dislikes everyone.
Correct.
Batman and Bella.
I also wear dresses on Saturday night, so I don't know why you're coming at me like that. I think Gen Z is...
Well, you are somewhat feminine, so it works for
correct.
You in a
this
way
is,
it doesn't work for some
is,
of these guys.
This isn't new to anyone. Yeah. There are some Gen Z who are like, who really care about it, and there's Gen Z like me. I'm just like, I don't really care what you do as long as it doesn't bother me. And as long as you're happy doing it, then I don't see why it's not bothering other people and all this kind of stuff. Go ahead and do it.
Yeah.
You feel?
No. Yeah. I was just going to say I feel you, but in this context, that's probably the wrong way to put it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I've been told I feel good.
Well, I can't really believe that, buddy.
Well, there you go.
You're basically – Dan's composition physically is you go to one of those like you go to like a supermarket or like an animal supply store and you see that like the cowhide bone. You know what I'm talking
yes.
about? Like
yes.
That's basically how I would imagine Dan would feel. You have no fat.
Nope, I don't.
It's a rawhide chew. That's what I'm looking for.
A rawhide chew. Ah, okay. What yes. they give dogs.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
Well, when you inevitably decide to quit this program and you need something to do with your time, there is a trans candidate running in New Jersey for Congress next year, announced on Thursday that he was entering the race. Val Mendoza. Nobody when they become trans just names themselves Susan, right? Like, you know, Jack doesn't become Jill. It's always got to be some random name. Val Mendoza wants to be the first transgender member of Congress from New Jersey. She's going to run he's going to run in the 7th Congressional District, wants the Democrat nomination to take on Tom Kane Jr. According to our friends over at the New Jersey Globe, Vail said, "In this race, I saw so many candidates pouring into it, discussing their identities, avoiding controversial issues, and doing the exact same thing that I consider the problem with the Democrat Party's general strategy, and why I think so many people feel disenfranchised. We're just not addressing the problems that people feel are salient to them." Is that really the Democrats' problem right now? That they're ignoring controversial issues? I think the Democrats' problem right now is that they only care about fringe crap like this. I mean, what is Donald Trump doing to occupy his time? Every day he wakes up and he closes another trade deal to recalibrate, reorient the national trading system in a way that's beneficial to this country. He passed the Big Beautiful Bill, which is big and is beautiful and provides a ton of tax relief and help for the middle class and small businesses in this country. Yes, he's done some things on the cultural front, notably to protect young girls competing in sports, but you know, it ain't the President of the United States that wakes up every day pounding his chest, declaring that he's a culture warrior. It's the left that can't shut up about this stuff. So, with all due respect to this dude, it's Valentina, Dan. The full name is Valentina.
Am I Valentina White Bag? That's another vine that you didn't...
I actually have heard that one for some reason.
You spilled lipstick in my Valentina White Bag?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, for some reason, though, I think Valentina Mendoza's voice is probably a little bit deeper.
You spilled lipstick in my Valentino White Bag?
Hey, dude. Yeah, because it's got to have a New Jersey accent, right? Because
yeah.
it's NJ7. That's North Jersey. Mm-hmm. Hey, yo, my name is Valentina Mendoza, and I want to be a congressman. I think we need more trans people in Congress. That's Valentina if she's been hanging out with you and Joe Camel, smoking 6 packs a day.
My name is Valentina Mendoza.
It kind of spills into my diner waitress. Hey, hun, how do you want your hash browns?
That's kind of what it is. I will fight for you for Congress, you know. But first, let me retuck my penis real quick, you know.
you think a woman can't have a penis? Forget about it.
Forget about it.
I'm Valentina.
Yeah. Vote for me for Congress.
Vote for me for Congress.
You know why? Free marijuana.
I'm going to fix it, but to fix it first, we have to tuck it.
And then Bernie Sanders walks in. It's a hell of a slogan. Bernie Sanders walks in, free healthcare, free marijuana. And then it's a huge free marijuana session for everyone. And everyone's like, Valentina, Valentina, and Bernie, Valentina. And then Valentina Mendoza's like, yeah, free marijuana. Everyone vote for me. That's right. Come to Valentina.
Come to Valentina. Sounds like a carpet store. Come to Valentina's. 50% off Labor Day weekend.
And then he's like, look at my Valentina white bag. You know?
I don't know. Maybe we should get behind Valentina Mendoza, this dude running in J7.
I don't really want to get behind him, but that's on you.
Well, safer to be in front of him, I guess.
Is there protection involved?
I'm just saying. I don't know. Actually, I'm going to share a photo, too, because, again, we've just decided we don't care about anybody's feelings anymore. We're over it. Valentina looks like Ted Cruz. Like, actually, if I didn't know better, I would think that Ted Cruz moved to Central Jersey and was running as a Democrat woman for Congress. I'm going to send you this picture. Hold on. This is gonna give you nightmares. You're not gonna be able to sleep. You're welcome. There you go. Do you see that on your phone? It's Ted Cruz.
Let me get it now. Oh my God. That's a hey. How you doing? On my name's Valentino. Oh my God. That's Ted Cruz with lipstick, dude.
Yeah, and see, look, I mean, not that it makes a difference substantively, but like you're obviously a dude. You're not a woman. You want to wear lipstick? Again, knock yourself out. God bless America.
I do that sometimes.
Well, yeah, I get it. You just want to feel pretty.
Yeah.
See, there's the Ted Cruz side-by-side comparison. I'm going to share this over on my ex page, Matt Rooney NJ, and I'm sure I'll get some hate for it, but ask me how much I care. The answer is precious little. That's how we roll here on the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. Let's take a timeout, stretch our legs, cleanse a little bit, and we'll be back with more of our little program that could in just a moment.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Back on the Matt Rooney Show as promised. We keep our word around here, folks. Unlike down in the Department of Justice before President Trump returned to power. I'd be remiss if I didn't talk a little bit about the latest Russiagate developments. This stuff is wackadoo. I'll summarize it as best I can in the limited time allowed. Long story short, you'll recall how last week we detailed the revelation that the Obama administration, in the waning days of his final term in office after Donald Trump had won the election, had concluded that no, Russia didn't really interfere in the 2016 presidential election. There's really no basis to conclude that it did and had an impact. And the Obama White House decided that did not fit the narrative. They directed their underlings to come up with a conclusion that was more favorable to their desired political ends, which is to scapegoat Donald Trump for interference that probably didn't even really happen, at least not how they described it. Well, now we've learned, based upon a new release, hat tip to the great Kash Patel, who is now heading up the FBI, and Pam Bondi in the Department of Justice. It looks like Hillary Clinton was aware of this plot and approved of it. I said at the beginning of the show, we knew she deserved to go to jail. I just don't think we realize the extent of her crimes. This is an email which is making the rounds. It's been part of the release from Leonard Bernardo. All you really need to know about this Leonard Bernardo guy is he is a Soros lieutenant. He works for George Soros's organization back on July 27th, 2016. So we're about the same point today as we were at the time in the 2016 presidential cycle. Bernardo said, hi, HRC, Hillary Rodham Clinton, approved Julia's idea about Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections. That should distract people from her own missing email, especially if the affair goes to the Olympic level. The point is making the Russian play a U.S. domestic issue. I mean, what else do you need to hear, folks? There's your proof. Russiagate was worse than a hoax. It was a coup attempt that began before the election was lost for Hillary Rodham Clinton, and then Barack Obama, after it failed to stop Trump from winning the White House, decided to make sure that that hoax survived Trump's election and inauguration, and would, of course, result in the first BS impeachment. Now, Hillary Clinton, in the wake of this Bernardo email from July 27th, continued to repeat the lie that there was Russian interference in Donald Trump's favor after we now know, based upon this email, that she was fully aware that it was nonsense. October 31st, 2016, right before the election, 3 months after the Bernardo email, Hillary tweeted, computer scientists have apparently uncovered a covert server linking the Trump Organization to a Russia-based bank. And she was retweeting a statement from Jake Sullivan on a new report exposing Trump's secret line of communication to Russia. There's other tweets of this effect. All nonsense. Completely cooked. Hillary was a part of it. Hillary apparently sanctioned it. She deserves to be arrested and put in jail. Lock her up, folks. And look, if hearing is believing and that's important to you, I'm going to give you some audio. We're not going to pay the whole darn thing, but you need to know. You need to share this podcast with some friends and family that still have TDS or maybe still believe that this hoax born of the Steele dossier and some intrigue between Obama and Clinton has any veracity to it. This is Cut Cinco.
Word became flesh.
Oh, my fault. Here we go.
I think that there is a lot to investigate, and I'm personally very grateful that somebody of the stature of Robert Mueller would be there conducting this investigation. He's a totally straight arrow guy. I mean, if it's there, it's there. If it's not, it's not. And I really believe that he will be honest and transparent and tell us whatever it is he finds. But as I say in the book, and I try to explain what bothers me, there's just too many connections to be called just coincidences. Mm-hmm. There just are. And, you know, some of it is financial entanglements, and some of it is hunting for, you know, negative information about me, and some of it is calling, you know, people and trying to hide the connections and the meetings and the calls and all of that. All of that has gone on. Now, there's a lot of smoke, and whether or not there's fire, we need to figure it out. But here is what's important. Put the investigation into Trump, his associates, and everybody else to one side. There is no denying that the Russians interfered in the election.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Whether or not they had willing or unwitting help from the Trump team, they interfered, and they did so to help him and hurt me, and they did so to destabilize our democracy, and they have not stopped.
What's not clear?
Full stop right there. So when is that audio clip derived from? That's Hillary Clinton now after the election, after Trump's inauguration, 2017 on The View. And you hear the hags and ghouls on The View going, oh, absolutely, as if it's gospel, when Hillary Clinton declares, straight-faced, that we know that Russia interfered. That's a fact. There's no denying that. And they were doing it to help Donald Trump. Yeah, of course, Hillary. That's not questionable. And we heard similar things repeated on every single network, every major legacy outlet, as recently as 2 days ago. They haven't given it up. But now we've got the proof. We've got the proof that Hillary not only knew it was bunk, but that she was a part of concocting this narrative to try to get herself elected. This is so much worse than Watergate. What was that, right? A bunch of petty criminals breaking into an office at the Watergate building to try to bug it. Illegal? Sure. This goes so much deeper and is so much darker and involves a former First Lady and Secretary of State, the sitting President of the United States, the Department of Justice, the FBI, a multinational billionaire in George Soros, because clearly somebody from his organization knew about this. So do you really think Soros didn't know anything about it? This is part of the reason why I've encouraged some of you to kind of chill out with this Epstein stuff. The rot runs deep, and you got to have some faith that Pam Bondi and Dan Bongino and Cash Patel and the president and J.D. Vance have a lot to unpack here. Some documents we learned were in a burn bag. They were trying to destroy them, not the current administration, the former administration. Patience, trust. Trust the people who have stood with us in the past that they are working overtime to try to get to the bottom here, to try to get to the truth, to make this a better country, a stronger country, a more transparent country. Quick timeout, folks, to play some ads, pay bills, keep the lights on, and we'll be back with the final segment of this episode of The Matt Rooney Show. Don't go anywhere.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Why didn't you invoke this law in your first term? You could have taken in billions upon billions of dollars in your first term, but you waited until your second.
Yeah, because in my first term, I was fighting lunatics like you who were trying to do things incorrectly and inappropriately to a president that was duly elected. And we did do certain tariffs in the first term. If you look at China, we took in hundreds of billions of dollars from China. But when COVID came, the last thing I was going to do is tell France and Italy and Spain and a couple of other countries that we're going to hit you with tariffs. We had to fight the COVID situation.
That's President Trump speaking at Thursday's press conference to announce that he is reinstating the presidential fitness test. Did you have that when you were in high school, Daniel?
The fitness test?
The fitness test, yeah.
Yes. The fitness brand pacer test is an all-around aerobic. Yeah.
I think it's something that's gone away in more recent years. So if you're a Gen Alpha, you're probably not familiar with it. But my generation was terrorized with pull-ups and the rope climb. Did you have to do the rope climb? Oh, the rope climb.
I remember the rope climb, but I don't think I had to do it.
Yeah, but it's part of the president's larger MAHA initiative. So, of course, RFK Jr. was there at the press conference, some other major athletes. Triple H from the WWE was present, who, fun fact, is U.S. Secretary of Education Linda McMahon's son-in-law. Those of you that are wrestling fans may remember that Triple H in real life is married to the McMahon's daughter, Stephanie. So some people were saying, why is Triple H there? Well, I mean, look, wrestling's been a big part of American history and our pop culture, and there's a lot of young men that look at these wrestlers as role models, maybe less so today than back in the era of the late, great Hulk Hogan, but it's a thing, so why the heck wouldn't you want them involved? But also, he's got a White House connect, Triple H. Were you a wrestling guy when you were younger?
No.
You never were into wrestling?
Not so much watching as doing. Like, my brother and I would go on a trampoline and just wrestle each other. Like, we were, like, into it, but I wouldn't say we were, like, diehard fans. We had to watch it every single time.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, young boys like to beat each other up and wrestle. I mean, it's just right. The most natural of all
guy instincts.
I mean, so me being a tad older than you, being a kid of the 80s and 90s, I was a little guy at the time when we were entering into the wrestling golden age. Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, Macho Man, Randy Savage, the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase. And then I was a junior high guy for the NWO. and the Attitude Era over on WWE. So, you know, I when Hulk Hogan died, I guess it was, what, a weekend ago now, about a week ago, hit me, man. The feels, as your generation would say, because it was a real link to my childhood, the Hulkster. Right in the feels, man. And also, you know, a less cynical time in our country's history. Part of the reason why Hulk Hogan's endorsement was huge back in 2024 for President Trump. Some on the left mocked it. They're like, who's this washed up, over-tanned, you know, tainted by scandal, you know, relic from the 1980s. Like, why does anybody care about this? Well, I'll tell you why. We started out our program today by talking about how younger men are flocking to the ranks of the Republican Party. He, to us, represented what made America great. His character, Hulk Hogan. And we want it to be great again. We want to be loud. We want to be proud. We want to be bigger than life. Some of our fondest memories of childhood and some of our earliest encounters with the uniqueness of this greatest nation in God's creation. So that really did suck to lose the Hulkster, and I was glad to see Triple H at the White House. I thought it was fun. I think it's a good thing. You know what's sometimes fun, but probably rarely a good thing? Do you have any idea, Daniel?
No, tell me.
It's this segment we do the end of the Matt Rooney Show when you decide to show up for work. Can you remind me what it's called?
Hey guys, gather round.
It's Twit Talk time.
We end the show by turning it over to producer Dan, and he plays a number of clips to delight you and horrify me. That's how it goes. It's a risk that I take on this show because I first and foremost care about your entertainment and enlightenment, not necessarily my comfort. You're welcome. So take it away, Daniel.
Don't act like you don't like the segment.
It's hit or miss with me. I either think it's hilarious or I want to crawl under my desk.
I don't know if you're going to find tonight's hilarious. Actually, you might. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe. We'll find out as the time comes on. I do have a couple Jersey-specific ones, though.
All right. Lay it on me. It's a Jersey show.
Yeah. So this one, she's complaining about the real IDs, and this is what she has to say to everyone in the government.
Passport.
Well, that's not what I wanted to do. There we go.
It's actually funny to me that the U.S. government doesn't realize that I would rather travel domestically with my passport for as long as necessary rather than spend even 5 minutes at the New Jersey DMV getting a real ID.
Preach. It's so true. I said the same thing to my wife. I had to travel to Austin recently for a conference, and I said, you know what? I'm just going to take my damn passport.
There you go.
And you know how long it takes to get a real ID in New Jersey? I don't know about Pennsylvania. I went and looked back in June. The earliest appointment I could find in South Jersey, down at the shore in October.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I had all my stuff online, so I could just apply for it, and then they would send it to me, just because I was born after whenever the threshold was. So they had all my stuff, so I didn't used to like go into the DMV or anything. Applied online, paid it, and came to the mail.
That's PennDOT, folks. But
there it is.
Over here with the in New Jersey MVC. This is why elections have consequences. I'm telling you all the time for a reason.
Are you familiar with Wawa, the good old convenience store?
Oh, of course I am. My body weight, it was half shorty at one point in time.
Do you know the worst Wawas in New Jersey?
The worst Wawas in New Jersey?
I guess the worst.
I've been in a couple of substandard ones.
The worst parking lots, I guess.
Oh, I mean, a Wawa parking lot in the morning. You know that scene in Star Wars where, like, Han Solo is trying to get out of the asteroid field?
Yeah.
That's what a Wawa parking lot is at 7:30.
Well, this guy is ranking the worst, the top three worst New Jersey Wawa parking lots.
Interesting. Let's hear it.
Top three Thursday, we're doing worst Wawa parking lots. We're going the Cherry Hill Wawa that is on Route 38 across from the Cherry Tree Corporate Center.
Yes.
Yeah, I know that one.
Do you agree?
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty terrible.
Frequent that and get gas there often. There's always people kind of loitering. A lot of people whizzing through the parking lot. Bad. Avoid. And number one, we are on the corner of Haddon Avenue and Cuthbert in Haddon Township.
Yes.
Oh, it's so that is the worst parking lot any category. It's okay. The size of a postage stamp.
Oh.
And it's small. At the intersection of two fairly busy roads. So getting out of it, you almost die. Getting into it, you almost die. And when you get into it, there's no place to park.
Got it.
So half the time, you have to abandon your Wawa trip and just keep driving.
There's maybe four parking spots in this parking lot.
Yeah, there you go.
It's terrible. It's a parking lot made for ants. Avoid at all costs. There's your worst parking lots.
There's the worst parking lots.
Yeah, I mean, that last one in Haddon Township, I endorse that.
Okay. What about the second one? Yes?
It's not. There's nothing on the same category.
Got it.
Yeah, it's next level. I'm going to take some pictures and post them online the next time I'm there. I'm probably there once every few weeks at that particular one.
Now, do you know our good old our friend that likes to make all the noises? Our female friend that likes to make the noises at the end of the videos?
She goes like,
yeah.
Yeah.
She does cameos. And this is one of the cameos that she posted. And this is honestly might be a good investment for one of us later on.
Okay.
Hey, Christian. Let's cut to the chase, shall we? I hear someone's turning 21 today. Let's just say, in a magical way.
Oh. It's so uncomfortable. I've actually never seen what she looks like.
When I come across her again, I will send you a picture. See
what yeah, I've only ever heard you play the cuts on here. I have an image, though, and it's not pleasant.
What do you think?
What do I think?
Yeah.
Kind of a basic-looking white girl, but with kind of bugged-out eyes.
Somewhat spot on.
Yeah. Someone you'd see at a bar with a more attractive friend, and you'd want to talk to the more attractive friend, but you get caught talking to her, and you're worried that you're going to be...
Yep.
Killed and chopped up in a trunk.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Someone made a good point. What if the? You know what? I don't want to spoil it. Here's her thought, and I think it's a stumper.
Hey, guess what, Republicans? One of the fetuses that you saved with these abortion bans turned out trans, and his. New name is Joe Biden.
Was it worth it, Republicans?
Ew, get in the bed. I'm rock hard.
What? I thought that was going in one direction, and then it boomeranged.
Yeah, that's the best part, isn't it?
Ugh, I don't even know what to make of that.
Trans fetus turns out to be Joe Biden.
Trans fetus ended up being Joe Biden.
Are you familiar with the gym cheat day?
The whole concept of like, hey, I'm not going even though I'm supposed to go, or I go and I don't do much.
No, it's like, you know, you go to the gym, but then you have like a cheat day where you just eat a lot of like sugar and fattening foods and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Yeah. I'm familiar with the concept.
As a divorce lawyer, this one, you might want to pique your interest on this one.
I don't know what you're so mad about. It was my cheat day.
So eat a cheeseburger. Don't f*** my sister.
I don't tell you how to do your cheat day.
Every case I've ever had. Oh, my God.
Just in case you need it again.
I don't know what you're so mad about. It was my cheat day.
So eat a cheeseburger. Don't f*** my sister.
I don't tell you how to do your cheat day.
There you go.
I just got a point, you know.
One last quick night. We got two more. This one, Gen Z are slowly becoming parents.
God help us.
And this
jinx.
And this is basically a standard interaction.
Hey guys, I got my son in the back seat.
Shut your f***ing ass up.
You ain't getting no ice cream.
Hey, so long as they vote Republican, that's really all I care about. Trump loving crazy people.
Yeah,
that's Gen Z folks.
And then finally, Thea Vaughn.
Oh, good.
It's a raunchy one, I'll tell you that, but man, it's a doozy. It's a doozy. Anyway.
If you're going to go out, go out with a bang.
30 seconds is a lot of pee.
and I've been trying to pee more.
30 seconds is a lot of pee?
You think it's less?
That's not, dude, I casually will for 70 seconds.
I just heard you had a nice stream.
Okay, that was nothing.
That was a nice stream for like a few minutes.
That was nothing. I could still cry after that. I could pee so much that I can't cry for an hour.
Really?
Oh,
I'm a quick peer then, I think.
I'll put it all out. I love to pee. And so I won't even wear underpants that are really tight anymore because I don't want that added outside influence.
Mm-hmm. All natural.
Yeah, because it'll kind of like tighten around your bladder, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't like that. I like to pee as God wants, as I want.
That was beautiful. You know, and he's not wrong that having a nice long pee, especially after you really have to go, it is an enjoyable exercise.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you're on like some long trip and you finally get to a rest stop or something and you finally get to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's not wrong.
It's not wrong at all.
One of the great minds of our time, folks, Theo Vaughn.
There you go.
Buddha.
Buddha.
And Theo Vaughn. Well, that's another Matt Rooney Show, folks. I know. It always goes too fast. Thanks for listening, everybody who did it the old-fashioned way on the radio dial, to everyone that has subscribed to the Matt Rooney Show podcast, to producer Dan, everybody who makes this program happen. Until next time, stay safe, stay sane, and keep fighting for this greatest nation in God's creation. It's worth it.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.